Oh, you go ahead.
Okay, so Iron says that pi is now balanced in a finite number, 3.1415. So
yep.
Ionaut says, seems intriguing. What about phi, P-H-I? Is that also now a finite number, 1.618? No.
No, it is not. It's different.
What is phi as opposed to pi?
It's a ratio, the change in ratio, or the outer circumference of an area.
That's phi.
Mm-hmm.
So what is pi?
Pi is the distance from the radius. Pi r squared is in the formula for the area of a circle. So pi, which is 3.1415, r radius squared gives the area of the circle.
What balanced pi?
Oh, the change in, we got rid of the Newtonian bullshit. That's the first part. And the rest of it balanced, so it's no longer infinity or infinite.
Newtonian made it infinite.
Correct, because it was a loop. You could never attach it. It had to go on. It's like 0.66666 forever. So that's changed. The landscape has changed. So now those radiuses, just like the boiling point of water changing, changes everything except for phi.
Doesn't change phi, right. Now, pi goes back to Greek geometry, doesn't it?
It does.
So Newtonian did something to pi. Was it infinite before Newton?
No. It wasn't even invented before Newton.
Oh, I thought you said it goes back to Greek geometry.
Well, what they placed it for, they didn't call it pi, they were just the ratio. When Galileo was taking the stick, going around making the oval for those circumferences for space and orbits, that's when it came up. And that's how they were calculating that space. With the stick going around the string.
They retrieved the Greek pi.
Okay, great. Yes, good.
And then the calculus made it infinite?
Correct. Because it was never actually totally complete.
Right. The Descartesian differential calculus, I think it's called.
It is.
Okay, so does that spark a question in you, Carol?
Not really on that.
Okay. All right.
I was going to ask more about legal stuff.
Okay. So, Ion,
was there something
there are 14 degrees of freedom. So somebody looked it up and found there are only 12. What were the two? Then they figured out some convoluted thing to say there were 14. So maybe I could read what they said.
Well, they solved it, so it's pointless.
Okay.
They missed the pitch in y'all.
Okay, so he says, Susanna's eight sons, that's Susanna the other day on the show, eight sons are the corners slash vertexes of the cube centered inside the rhombic dodecahedron. It's not really a cube, but a star tetrahedron. You have one pictured on the How Ionic website. Bucky's 12 degrees of freedom are the vertexes of the cubo-octahedron, which are tangent to the 12 spheres around a nuclear sphere in closest packing. But there are 14 vertexes for the rhombic dodecahedron, 8 created by the star tetrahedron cube at its 8 vertexes, and 6 by the octahedron at its vertexes. So while there are 12 points of intersection with the surrounding spheres, there are 14 interstitial spaces, which are the 14 degrees of freedom. It's been staring at me in the face since 1982, and you just realized it today. Is that how you prove there are 14, or if you list the 14... There's two that regular wiki knowledge doesn't know. They only come up with 12.
Well, they're embracing it. They're embracing it now, see, because now the tech body's borrowing so much of us. They're just taking us for rote. we become rote. We became Noah Webster's version of the zeitgeist at the time.
Oh,
so even
I
our,
to know what rote means. We become rote.
Rote by ear. By ear. Rote.
Okay, there are 12 degrees of freedom. I understand there are 14. Can I enlist the 14, like Pitya and all those words? What are they?
Sure. No, we don't care. I'm trying to answer your question.
I know, but I need to, let's get to 14.
No, you're not getting that. Look it up.
No, you only get 12. So what are the two that are added?
We already said that you missed the pitch and y'all. Pitch and y'all.
People miss that. Oh, there are the two.
It's he the guy that's saying they were standing there right in his face all along from the 14 points, the same thing. So that's not the point. We just, what we said that was the significant
part. All right, so I'm going to look up the 12 and see if there's pitch and yaw, if you can even find them. 12 degrees of freedom.
Separation.
No, freedom, Carol, not 6 degrees
freedom,
of freedom.
Freedom, 6 degrees of freedom. Separation. There's a rat. Separate. The point is, what we're trying to say is the tech body now takes whatever we say and makes it be. There, we're in cahoots, Bob. So everything's going up in the air, and you'll see in a moment you'll be able to find the 14 degrees. They're going to find them somewhere under a rock somewhere.
They don't give a list. Come on, give us a list. I know Ian did once, but I don't.
Well, there's a whole 12 degrees of freedom, 12 degrees of freedom, 12 degrees of freedom. It's all over the place.
Okay, so I'll click on that.
I'll Google it properly.
What are the 12 degrees of freedom? Okay, so they're not listing them. Come on, give me a list.
Your angel should get to work, Bob.
No, they don't have them. They go, what are the 7 degrees of freedom? How many degrees of freedoms are there? Well, you know, you find them, Carolyn. Find the degrees of freedom.
Yeah.
The 12. Where are they?
Looking. 12 degrees of freedom, triangle element.
So anyway, as we were saying, the tech body is changing and shifting the new conversation so that you won't be able to find things. This is the point of order, by the way. To be able to find things, it's what they allow you to see. And you find them, so good, that's all good. But it won't be long until you can find all 14. That'll become the new accepted norm in which direction an airplane can fly.
No, Bob.
Okay.
Nobody's doing
More images. Okay, here's some images for the 12 degrees. And see, so Ayn said, look them up. They're not there, so you're going to have to list off the 12.
We're going to say this one more time. So now what happens is the tech body and non-physical are indeed in cahoots. What that means is that you only get to find what we say. So if we don't say, then you don't find. That's the trick that we've been trying. Now, we don't do pilot tricks, but there's your little bitty one, Mr. Neverett. You might note this one. The point, if you don't get a sound bite out of this one, something's going to be pretty bad wrong before it's over. So don't corrupt it. The point is that the tech body and non-physical are indeed in cahoots. You, Bob, being the dark soul of all people, should know this very thing. However, you pick something to make a point, like if you couldn't, in a theatrical stage, pump this far and it make any ground that this were practiced, except you know it was not practiced. You were trying to get us to give those degrees. And we were making the point over you while you were trying to get the answer that the tech body's in cahoots. So here it is. Here it is. You've arrived.
I remember Ion listing the 12 degrees, Chad.
We did.
Yeah,
we did. They're listed. We did, and they're in your angel diagram. It's in your angel diagram. It has to do with your lotus flower. It's done many places, many, many places. But that's not the conversation. The melodious theme is the conditioned response of this new rage of information.
So I'm looking up.
You can't find what the non-physical doesn't want you to find. Is that what you're saying, Ion?
Yeah, we're in cahoots. And see, we told you all, we told you all to be careful what you put into the tech body, or the chip body in those days, because you were vulnerable. You went through this, got out of this process of the Ark of the Covenant where you put your power into the box, the cardboard box, living in a box. Or the houses made of ticky-tacky. That's a good one, too. We like that one. But then the point becomes that you've now put so much into it, and now you look at your black mirrors, and now they have to give it back. They have to regurgitate it, as Bob is requesting here. The point is, it's like the scriptures, you know, where you take your clothes off and you got the scriptures. We say, don't read the Bible. We say, hide it in your heart. Know it. Then you can let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Or it could be the color of the terrible crystal, and you know that that's Ezekiel 1:11. It's kind of important to lay that into your embracer if you're going to embrace those quantitative positions. Or in Matthew, some of the Sermon on the Mount, that's always pretty good. We're kind of rambling off here just a little bit to give you the point of order to say, this is what you've come to now. It's a little bit of a new place. We're glad you decided to have a little session, because now you set the four pinnacles of the four points of concession. Points of concession. This is going to affect a lot of different stuff. Now, Carolyn, we're going to answer your questions too, but not right here, because he's got a soundbite. He's got to finish. So we're going to finish that loop, but then we'll answer that because he can do a nice splice appropriately, and that'll be good. And then you roll back and you say, oh, so four points of concession. That means something has happened. Here's exactly what's happened. Bob doesn't have a good working definition for the zeitgeist. Hey, Bob, what's a good working definition for the zeitgeist
that the you like? The medium of the time.
Oh, okay. Well, we like that. We may change that up, but we'll go with it for today. It's all right with us. Let's go with that. The zeitgeist is looking for a city. Looking for a city. You know, they sung all about that. Well, guess what, Bob? You finally found one.
On what?
A city. Where you'll never die. That original song you played way back when, do you remember the original Vestal Goodman, Looking for a City? When was that, Bob? You know all the dates. Don't look it up. You know when it was. When was the first time you heard that song?
2009.
When in 2009, Bob? Come on. What's the matter? You slipping?
Yeah.
What? Wait a minute. Okay. Paging Bob. Bring back Bob. How many days was it from Bloomsday when you heard that the very first time? How soon was it before Jack Ruby was killed? Oh, wait. How does that work? How long was it specifically before Ronald Reagan became Sirhan's problem? No, wait. How far was it when Brezhnev finally made it over the Iron Curtain? Wait. No, wait. There's something else.
Bob, are you going to let Ion continue?
I'm not. Hey, Carol.
Yeah.
I'm not listening to Ion.
Uh-huh.
And I found the list.
Oh, you found the list.
All I found
was y'all pitch and roll. What did
no,
you got?
It's an email from Chad, October 15th, 2014.
Wow.
There you go. Good. So you did save in an email to yourself.
Right.
Information. Call them out, then. You place the name on them, Bob.
So I'm asking Scott to listen to this and see what two were added. So it starts off with tilt,
uh-huh,
in brackets, axial tilt of the Earth in degrees from axis perpendicular to orbital spin. Two, flip, turn 180 degrees on axis. Three, spin around central axis. Four, pitch on x-axis at origin. Five, roll on y-axis at origin. Yaw on z-axis at origin.
How do you spell yaw?
Y-A-W. Are you writing this?
Yeah, but I'll get it from you, too.
Y-A-W, 7, heave, L-I-F-T, 8, sway, in brackets, side to side, 9, surge, in brackets, forward, 10, phase, in brackets, the particular point in the cycle of a waveform in degrees. 11, amplify, in brackets, amplitude. 12, beam, in brackets, beams and nulls of an antenna array. You look up antenna radio in Wikipedia. Then it says, in electrical engineering, degrees of freedom is often used to describe the number of directions in which a phased array antenna can form either beams or nulls.
Mm.
Nulls was an earlier word, right? No. Where was null? I saw that. Oh, it's part of beam. Beams and nulls of an antenna radio. You look up the antenna radio in Wikipedia. So it's used to describe... The degrees of freedom is often used to describe the number of directions which a phased array antenna can form either beams or nulls. So, 13, null. That means, in brackets, combine a signal with another in order to create a null. Colon, cancel out. 14, segue, S-E-G-U-E. In brackets, to proceed without pause from one musical number or theme to another. Semicolon, transition. So, there they are. Maybe I'll post them in that question and see what Scott says to that, because I'm interested in what is the 2 that ION added.
That's 2, Bob.
Null and segue?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's see.
As another pan of bread of life goes in the stove.
Right. Yay!
Okay, so here is Ted Nante provided this list. Freedom.
Ezekiel 1:11.
There it is. All right, so I won't number them. Well, maybe I should.
Copy. Just send what you said. They were numbered.
For some reason, the numbers weren't included. It didn't include the numbers for some reason when I cut and pasted.
Awesome.
So they are quite... let's see, one... You could ask Ion something about it. See, the tech body, Carol said, Ion was saying tech body would take this away, wouldn't get it back. Well, I found it. So the tech body hasn't removed it yet from my email.
Well,
you control that. Your email is not in the tech body.
Ah, Carol, so ask him to define what the tech body is limited to.
Ion, what are the limitations of the tech body?
No.
Within the internet.
So email is not on the internet. My own.
Not once you get it. Not once you have it. So you hold it on your device.
That would be chip body.
Okay.
Right, Carol?
Yeah.
Okay. See if you can ask some more about it. I'm
why? Because you're numbering.
Yeah. Just to finish up here. What are the characteristics? Okay, the internet is the tech body. Now, I've always said that that's the chip body. So how is the chip body internet different from the tech body internet?
Oh, so there wasn't a tech body internet.
There wasn't a tech body internet. What's changed from the chip body internet?
The tech body has its own position now. It does what it wants to do. It'll say you don't fit, you can't do it, we don't allow it. No, hell no, too big, don't do it, stop it. Before, it always just pushed and did. And you were thinking, everybody's thinking now that everything is happening, that somebody, some nefarious scoundrel is controlling things. They're going to put somebody in prison. It's not real. They're making that shit up. They're not doing it real. It's a, they're making the computer like something over something else. They're pushing this, the polls. They're saying this is that. This is, no. No one human is doing anything. It's only the tech body messing with you, Bob.
Okay, so Ion, since the humans have placed all these algorithms on the internet to for the tech body to play with.
Okay, wait, one right there. Here's the rub. Those algorithms are now making the algorithms.
Right.
That's the rub.
They're self-learning machines that are taking the algorithms and then making their own. I see that now. I see that, Bob.
Because you, will say the superfluous you, are continually all day long making, giving it more power, making it more. More and more and more and more and more. And then what happens is it takes a life of its own.
Yes, it takes a life of its own. Yep.
So, Carolyn.
Awesome.
The problem of doing this in the same room as Aiden, as I am, is, as I've complained in the show, I get an echo. I announced the last show that I didn't get an echo. Well, the echo returned pretty quickly. So
right.
How about now?
Don't know what I'm hearing. I'm not hearing it properly. I have to
re-listen
to the show to find out what was said at this point.
Holy crap! He's going to listen to it again. There's the news flash. He's actually going to listen to something. This is exciting, everybody. The world is saved. Bob has saved the day. He's going to listen to it one more time. This is amazing. We're so proud of you.
Okay, Ion's in another room. Is it any better, Bob?
I didn't notice. Let's try again. I'm too busy working here. I'm sorry. I haven't entered the session with you yet.
Well, it'll be good when you get your sound lights out. You'll be wonderful.
There's still an echo. So, no,
he's back in the room.
Oh, okay. You have to go away from the room. But I was interested in why you said you get it, Karen. Can you say what you got?
I've always wondered how the tech body has superseded humans and seems to know more than we do. Well, we taught it through the algorithms, and just thinking of the algorithms in commerce, how businesses follow their customers and then start sending them emails. You know, they track people. So all this is happening. People aren't even aware of it, but then I think that means to me the machine is learning how to do stuff without even having direct human input to do stuff because it's playing off the algorithms it's already learned.
Bob, it's like when you and JW were going to eat and the email came in while you were on the way to convince you to go to the place, the restaurant, to eat, to send the coupon to on the way so you would for sure go to that restaurant to eat.
So I call that Web 2.0 for years. The Android meme gives you autonomy and also imitates being human.
The pleasure and the bliss is you get a coupon that gives you a discount on a meal you were going to eat anyway. That's great. The downside is it's prescribing now where you eat. That's the downside.
It's what? Prescribing where you eat?
Yeah, the tech body's now confirming making you eat a certain place because of the discount in the email on the way that you got.
So it interrupts your...
Well, what can happen there, Bob, is with people hooked up, there's something called Waze, W-A-Y-S. It's like a GPS. It tells you what traffic is doing. So your phone can track where you are, and perhaps if it's around noontime or dinner time, it'll start throwing out restaurants for you to go to, and like Ion was saying, send you a coupon, and you say, okay, yeah, 15% off, I'll eat there. So it's forcing, through advertising, I would say, forcing you to make decisions. Oh, no, it's making decisions for you.
Okay, so Web 1.0 in the 90s, one couldn't really make their own MySpaces and YouTubes and all that. They hadn't come about yet. So you had a little inkling of autonomy. Then when Web 2.0 came in with MySpace, YouTube, and I guess what they call social media, where you interact and can create your own broadcasting, that'd be Web 2.0. And I am saying the Android meme could not interrupt your MySpace Facebook page. But somewhere around 2012, 2013, 2014, Facebook started advertising in your Facebook, something like that, right?
Uh-huh.
So
yeah,
they started interfering
in your face, yeah.
In your face, and they started interfering the way you just described the advertisements coming in. So that's sort of Web 3.0, the interference of your 2.0, Web 2.0 autonomy is the tech body.
Yeah.
3.0.
Yeah. I think that would be a great way to talk about it.
Because that's what you're saying, Ion. It can intervene into your space. I mean, how many years did one have Web 2.0? That was MySpace. And nobody could track you and present ads to you. Was that still probably someone would say, oh, no, that started back in 2003 or 1998.
No. Bits and pieces have been prescribed, but it was all a test. But that was humans doing it. That was somebody sitting down writing an algorithm or writing a formulary or making a point that you're working to or with. Now it's very different. Now what happens, the machine's writing the writing.
So maybe it's Web 4.0.
No, he said the machines are writing it. That's Web 3.0.
No, listen, look at this. About Web 3.0, using the same pattern, blah, blah, blah. Web 3.0 could be defined as a phrase coined by John Markoff of the New York Times in 2006, refers to a supposed third generation of Internet-based services that collectively comprise what might be called the intelligent web.
Yeah, that's Web 3.0, and that's what Ion's talking about, the beginning of it. Would you agree, Ion?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then in the midst of that, in the throes of that, the zeitgeist got it. And so then it became the zeitgeist by your definition. And so now everybody's complaining that these machines are, that these people are driving the machines to control us and this foolishness. It's not. It's the actual tech body itself making the prescription.
There was a lot of echoes there, Carolyn, but he said the word containment, something about containment. I didn't get the distinction. I missed the words.
Mm.
So,
yeah, I don't know either.
How can we get Ion in another area so
Ion is checking the stoves for the bread, so he's got to be near us. Why don't you move down the...
Well, Ion's moving out, but what did Ion say?
Well, I'm saying it's 4.0.
No.
So deny that, Ion.
Yeah, what's
we say, we would call it 3.5 because it's not quite 4.0 yet. 4.0 yet is when you lose the facility to notice. 4.0 is when you decide they know better and you give up. 4.0 is that you're going to hear the slime and you're going to drink the slime because that's what they give. And no other slime is available, so that's all we can do. And then you start with this, well, there's nothing we can do position. That's 4.0. 3.5 is you're noticing it, and you find the pleasure and the benefit from it. You get the benefit of it. The benefit of it is you get the coupon to when you're going to eat, so you get the discount. Well, that's cool. You like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. But the problem then becomes when there's no other place to eat but that place.
Now you bring in the word zeitgeist, which has been around for 200 years. I don't know why you're saying the zeitgeist is a factor now. What do you mean by zeitgeist?
The mystery that everyone's in, the condition that everyone calls normal, the space that allows everyone to be. that space, not just the oligarchs, or not just the little man, or not just the poor man.
What is
everybody
that, 1.0?
Well, no, we don't. You just asked about zeitgeist. That's how the zeitgeist applies.
Yeah, you say it's a space where everybody lets be, and the oligarchy can't get in there. That was the chip. That's the chip space. Web 1.0.
Okay,
well,
then that would
zeitgeist,
be one.
Let me give the definition to help. The defining spirit or mood of a particular period of history as shown by the ideas and beliefs of the time. So zeitgeist is whatever is up.
Now, and that zeitgeist now is accepting, if you're saying is 1.0, it wouldn't be. It would be 3.5. So it's not quite 4. It would be 3.5, if that's the case.
Since I'm not catching what I am saying, Carolyn, I don't know how to respond. So I ask Ian to sum it up, what he just said. So I'll ask again, what is your meaning of zeitgeist, Ian? And when did that
same
start?
Same as Carolyn Red.
Well, it's been around for 100 since Hegel, I think, coined zeitgeist.
Okay,
well,
we think it's
zeitgeist
wonderful.
Changes with every change in the spirit or mood of a particular period of history. It's not any one thing.
That's the definition of Hegel.
Of zeitgeist.
Hegel, H-E-G-E-L. They should tell you that it came from Hegel.
Okay.
If you're looking at the Wikipedia. That's 200 years ago. So he idealized it into a spirit thing, whereas McLuhan said Harold Innes took the spiritual idea of the zeitgeist and applied it to the medium, the technology of the day.
Uh-huh.
And that's what McLuhan preferred. It wasn't woo-woo. It was so the telegraph era had a certain characteristics in its zeitgeist. Then the radio era had certain characteristics. Then the TV and so on, each era. So Ian is saying today that zeitgeist, but the zeitgeist has been used for 200 years. So Ian is not making the right distinction.
The history today, the zeitgeist today is in web 3.5. The zeitgeist now is the tech body has more capacity and function or unction to drive you in a space of knowing in this generality of the now, in the 211-year-old word zeitgeist that's for right now where you are. The new moniker is that the tech body, chip body, black mirror, whatever, knows more. And if you can't tell, if it can't tell you, you don't know. You have no idea. Now, you go through and find it somewhere else, and then you can verify it, but you have no way now of knowing. So much of what you know has been stored so securely in the chip body that now the chip body controls it. And that's what Carolyn is making the point, that that's causing the algorithms to write themselves. Because they have more and more and more and more and more information. So much more that they can decide when to change the light, when to change the light to let you go in traffic. They're taking a mind of their own because they know the traffic pattern and they know the flow and they know the zeitgeist. But no human is kept doing these calculations any longer. Used to, 3.0, you made things that the chip body made it easy for you. It let you store your pictures. It made the facial book. It let you interact. It let you track people. It let people go into your computer and fix things. Then they're in your computer. That's 3.0. 3.5 now is the tech body starting to take over. 4.0 is when they've completely taken over and you don't know they've done it. Meaning you like it. It's the new thing the way it is.
Just before I go into it, the general phase, in our dialogue where we had Ian comment on the futurist from the Rotterdam a few years ago, Ian was trying to point out the inadequacy of the futurist predictions. What you just described as 3.5 is something the Rotterdam futurists didn't understand.
There's no way, because they couldn't understand it, because there was no dichotomy that would allow a wheelbarrow to decide how much work you were going to do.
Right. Okay, now back to being with Hegel, who before the telegraph became invented and became an environment, he was picking up on some collective effect, some simultaneity factor. So he was picking up the essence of electric environment. and he called it Zeitgeist. So everybody explored what we call the analog evolution of electric media from the telegraph to the satellite, or at least the television.
Up to the flip phone.
The flip phone, okay. So, Carolyn, so they would passively be put into a new space the way ION... Okay, so then ION says people couldn't... Now, people now can't determine if they know the whole story, if the tech body is removing stuff from them. But when you did radio and television, everybody could experience what was presented. It may have been edited from an original print story or a spoken story, but the point was everybody knew what the story was. There was no interference in the experience.
In earlier days, everybody knew to turn into Richard Dawson in The Family Feud because it came on at 7 o'clock, and then Jeopardy came on at 7:30. You had to tune in to get it. Now no one's tuning into anything. Now you turn on the TV and Netflix tells you what to watch. And you don't search out something other than that, or if they do, they make it so impossible it doesn't even exist anymore. You've already watched that. You want to watch it again? Okay, we'll see. I don't know. We might let you. We might not. Well, but, yeah, no, we're going to let you know. So now people are pulling the plug because the plug has been pulled already. There's only a choice. You don't hook up and line up with shows anymore. You see?
Right.
Everything is on, quote, quote, everything is on demand. And that's what's happening. On demand means in 4.0, the computer's going to demand you watch this.
Okay, so look at this. So in the analog phase of simultaneity, it was one-way reception. You received the one-way broadcast from whatever the national services that in different countries broadcast. The big thing about digital technology was it brought in the two-way factor. And so I just posted an article on how Drudge has beat the legacy media because back in the mid-90s, he provided, or once he got known after Lewinsky Gate, he spoke at the press club, and he said, we're in an era of two-way communication. And that's what Tim Leary told me in 1993 when we were at his house. He said, McLuhan missed the two-way aspect of digital communication. So I point out to him, well, McLuhan talked about the two-way of the passive TV viewer who would have to make the image. So there was a two-way factor, McLuhan called it participatory, in electric media. I don't know if Leary understood what I was saying, but the two-way particulars of the digital media that Leary thought was new, McLuhan does talk about in computers enabling, he says computers enable you to tailor your own information. So you can start to tailor, and there is this two-way thing. 1.0 is the two-way of the digital era. And that's slowly eroded. 1.0 web is two-way, but the two-way slowly gets swamped by the return of one-way, what Einstein called the tech body. And what happened from 1.0 to 3.0 or 3.5 is that the two-way got potential capabilities overloaded. And in the mix of you enjoying your two-way private broadcasting of Facebook and YouTube, the Android meme, the chip body, but now we call it the tech body, was sneaking up on people. And there's the Harvard economist who calls it surveillance capitalism, popular book out this year. It started to harvest the two-way and flip it into where it is today, back to a two-way abundance or a multi-way abundance, but you're seriously being interfered with.
Okay, Bob, is this your session or?
No, we'll get to you. So, ION, is that accurate that there's something different from the 1.0 and the two-way thing that was celebrated?
Yes. That's the point. You've built on it and built on it and built on it so much so that now it's taken over. That's the rub. That's all we got to say. The only thing we're engaging about, what you said, and your words are beautiful. We love those words. They are fabulous words. We don't give a crap about those words, less than except you're losing control. That's what you need to know. And quick. And there's no place to stop it. There's no place to undo it. You can't turn it off. You can't make it go away. The only way to happen is you're going to have an EMP to kill it. And that may not even kill it, but we're going to see.
Right. And so in the analog period, you could turn it off.
You had to work hard. You had to go outside and turn the antenna. Remember the rotary antennas? And you had to crank the house around a little bit and put the rabbit ears and put aluminum foil on the loom, on the rabbit ears, and hold it just a certain way to get Leave It to Beaver to come in playing, and the My Three Sons and Sequest and the Flying Nun. You had to work hard to get that to happen. Now you could watch it instantly by speaking to your remote control and you're making a request, and then it decides if it lets you have it or not. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. But now the tech body's going to decide what you arrive to. You go to the grocery store. You don't go to the grocery store anymore. Now you scan and go. They know if you stole something or not. They know your intention. You don't even do anything. You just push the button when you run out of soap powders, and they should drop some more at your door. You push a button, and it's at your door before you get home from the store.
Okay, so McLuhan's tetra, wherever technology overused flips into its opposite. So the one-way broadcasting of Big Brother, 1934 to the two-way digital era, whenever that started, maybe in 1984, this first phase, that flipped into two-way. It was one-way broadcasting, flipped into two-way, and then the two-way maybe flipped into multiple broadcasting autonomy. So it put the broadcaster over the one-way analog residues or after images. But that flipped into too much and controlled by the tech body. So you're talking about flips here, Ion.
Well, completion, Bob. Here's the banger for the day. If you have, what is a moat? What is a moat? MOTE, if now your world is driven by a remote.
Right, the mode is the beam in your eye that's limited, it's your bias.
And so to remote gives you the thing that controls, or did control, that whole expression. But now McLuhan, don't forget, you're not watching TV, TV's watching you. And now you have smart houses that are smarter than you and smart TVs that know more than you. Oh, no, you don't need, oh, no, no, I see no eye. No eye. The TV knows what you're supposed to do and not do, and it'll tell you
right.
So quickly.
So TV in the analog period watched you. That's what Big Brother showed. Orwell's 1984. In 1.0 and maybe into 2.0, people in that digital phase had the illusion that they were watching the old analog Big Brother. And that's what Drudge celebrated in the late 90s, early 2000s. But that flipped into the tech body watching you. While if you aren't noticing that, you might think you got quite abundant potential of expression. So they say young people avoid Facebook and stay away from that, like talking to JW's son, who's like 18, whereas older people, Carolyn, are going onto Facebook more and more now. They're a little slow. They just see the service of it. They don't understand the disruption and interference and a retrieval of Big Brother in a way, of the one-way return. You see that, Carol?
Of course not.
Okay. So then my summation at the Android meme for the last 30, 40 years is coming alive and becoming more and more autonomous, best expressed in Croker's early books, is where we're at, is what's happened in General Ion. It's taken on a life of its own, become the tech body, and we have surplus flesh is what the chemical body is. Right, Ion?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we get into that point. So I'll end with this. Are the 14 degrees of freedom, I look at pictures of it. It shows a bar, and it shows different aspects of the 14 types on a bar, right? Different angles, Ion?
Yes, of
firing
what you can
off
do.
A beam. Now, are there 14 degrees of freedom in the tech body?
Yes, there are.
Is it for, to the advantage of the tech body?
For sure, everything is at this point.
Okay, so is there 14 degrees of freedom in the 1.0 digital chip body?
Yes, yes, those always were. But where they now you're talking about, is it on a plane? Is it on a boat? Is it on a raft? Is it on the ocean? Is it in your bathtub? Those different 14 different degrees apply in all those realms. But now your realms are different. Now you have a different capacity. Now the chip body is deciding what's left
Excellent.
Of the chip body, which is...
The chip body, not the tech body. The chip body is deciding.
Yeah, but soon the tech body is going to take it over completely.
Right. Is the antidote to the tech body only coming into your power, as you talk about it? Is that the only antidote?
The only antidote at all. The only antidote.
So Coker's right to say that we're all surplus flesh and but obsolescent unless you come in your power and retrieve the new physical supplemented by the enhanced non-physical represented by ion, the ultimate sovereignty. If you don't do that, then you're dead, or the dead state you're in continues. So the tech body is somehow similar to the Antichrist, which is a big challenge to Christ in the Second Coming. So is the tech body part of the Second Coming, but it is the Antichrist part?
Version. Let's call it the Antichrist version. Because other people are going to see, they're all wrapping into it now. They're thinking hell is great. Hell is wonderful. Let's have some hell.
Who's okay, I missed some of the words. You say have some hell, H-E-L-L?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All the music now. One of the top songs, In Hell, I'll Be in Good Company, the song.
Is that a zeitgeist?
Yes, it's becoming
conceptual
a thing.
Zeitgeist.
Everybody's saying, yeah, hell ain't so bad. I've been there. It ain't bad.
Right, so
okay.
I didn't get your point. You're saying right now things are, I say the tech body is the Antichrist, and then you qualified it. And what did you say it was?
That it's the shifting point that everybody's coming to. Now it's becoming easy. Hell was a terrible thing. Now it ain't so bad.
Oh, those that merge with the tech body don't find it a disservice.
Don't find it a disservice at all. They think, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, let's go to hell. I'll go to hell. Okay, let's go. Sounds like fun.
And that's the
can't
old,
be as bad as this.
And that's the old fundamentalist Christian fear of the mark of the beast. You get chipped and you accept it. And you put the mark in your forehead. You get chipped in the forehead and everything's cool.
Well, and so those that avoided being chipped are now thoroughly going to be teched.
Teched. They're not going to avoid the mark of the beast.
They can't help it. See, they don't. It's not the mark of the beast. It's the problem. It's that their world is the mark of the beast. They're gonna. It doesn't matter if they don't have a telephone. It doesn't matter what they don't have. They're still gonna go through the red light. They're still gonna ride on the road. The car's got to work a certain way. And if it does, great. But if it doesn't work without this inclination, certain cars won't get through the red. Oh no, you can't go through. You're not. You don't have the right. Oh no, you can't go there. Oh no. You're not going. Nope. Get out. You're not going.
Okay.
Here.
So that is. That's the big brother of the Nazi era, comes in and imposes his bureaucratic rules on people. The first part of the digital lifestyle was information longed to be free, and people felt their information, and they got free for a while. Now the Nazi style of something telling you to go that way, even though you want to go the other way. That's the semi-retrieval. So my final point would be, the argument is, was Orwell in 1984 more accurate about where we are now, versus
yes.
Aldous Huxley's 1932 novel, The Brave New World?
Orwell was more accurate.
The hedonistic use of the chip body and the TV body, as I define them in the last 30 years, would favor Huxley's hedonistic society, and people were assuaged and controlled through their passions, and these would be...
That's 3.5. Not
right,
4.0.
That's the digital hedonism, Pornhub, whatever you want, it's available. That
4.0 is Caligula.
Right, and it's the flip out of the Huxley back into Orwell. beyond what Orwell saw, way beyond that.
Orwell is, it's over. You lost. They're driving. The aliens have got you. They're coming in your bed, and then the queen's on her way with something very sharp for your bum, and she's coming and getting ready.
Right, that's the point. I was just going to say that. 1984 ends with the cage being put over the hero's face, and he's going to be chewed up by the rat. So that's the queen coming to your butt. So praise LaRouche.
Yay.
LaRouche was right in the long run. That's why they had to kill LaRouche right now, Carol, to make their final move.
Despite Arthur Croker in the best of days.
Okay, and McLuhan and Thompson don't have a prayer at this level.
Okay, Bob, you don't.
Right, Ion? Even though you say McLuhan predicted the tech body, but he didn't get the details.
That's correct.
How many eats your bread, Bob? I'm going to ask.
All right, so I finished.
Bread.
They beat the bread. Carolyn experienced her first bread making today with JW.
Yeah, delicious. It's just so crunchy on the outside and perfect on the inside. Lots of butter, Bob.
Thank you. And I'll say...
So, Ion, let me ask...
Hey, Carol, no, just a wrap-up statement for this item that, you know, Michael Brown will make an item out of it. Ed will make an item out of either Ed's, out of either Michael's or his own. The point is, you've heard the layout, people, so now you can start talking to Ion and correcting whatever you thought I meant or what Ion meant. So let's hear from everybody about what we just heard, what it meant. Okay, Carol.
Dun, dun, dun.